God's time clock is running. Learn more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reveal the significance of the four blood moons and how they have impacted history and caused world-changing events.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We've been hearing some good things out of Billy Brim. Signs in the heavens, things that are going to happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So welcome, Billy, and give us some more good
signs
stuff.
Signs of His coming.
The signs of His coming.
The signs of His coming. And this is a prophecy that Brother Kenneth E. Hagin gave back in 1980. And he said, "The end of the age is coming upon this generation."
I don't know if I have that prophecy.
Gloria, you and I believe it, are part of the last generation.
Praise God.
And He's coming. And the signs are that He's coming really soon.
Well, I'm going to give you another piece of that. I'm going to be ready.
Me too. And I'm going up in the first resurrection.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. we have talked about signs in the heavens and how God gives them and how He made the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and to mark the moeds, His dates that He circled on His calendar of redemption. And those we talked about yesterday, Pastor Mark Biltz, how he found in, I don't know if it was in 2008 that he found it, but I saw him on J.R. Church in 2008. And he was talking about, he began to wonder about when the Bible says that the sun would be turned to darkness and the moon into blood, if it could possibly be eclipses. And so then he went online. We talked about it in detail yesterday. You can go on the archives. He went on the internet and he found out from NASA, they can tell when every eclipse was and when every eclipse is going to be. But what he discovered there was something called tetrads. And tetrads are four total eclipses, moon eclipses, blood moons. NASA gave them that name, blood red moons, because red is the only color that appears when it's a full eclipse. So they named them that. And he saw something called tetrads. Now, a tetrad is four total lunar eclipses or blood moons, four total blood moons that consecutively occur during a specific intervals of time. A tetrad is rare. A tetrad with a solar eclipse within its parameters is rarer. And a tetrad linked to the moeds or the dates on God's calendar, the Jewish feast, you might call them, is extremely rare. Mm. It has happened only three times in the past 500 years.
No kidding.
So it happened. We went over it yesterday. Every time it's happened, there's been world-changing events. And in Brother, what did I do with Brother Hagee's book? Brother Hagee's book, he wrote on the title, subtitle, "Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change." How does he dare say that? Because every time there was this tetrad on the Jewish dates, on the God dates, the Moeds, every time it was a world-changing event.
Wow.
And the first one, the world-changing event was the Jews got kicked out of Spain, Spanish Inquisition, and sailed at the same time Columbus sailed and discovered a new world place for the Jews to go. It was bad and hard for them, and then it changed. Still hard and many places hard today, but there it was a shelter in a nation. And it was a world-changing event that Brother Hagee talks about here in this book. And I really like the way he said it and the way he put it, because the Bible says that if you curse Israel, you're cursed. And Spain, the prosperity of Spain plummeted after the Jews were expelled and has never recovered to this day.
Wow.
The expulsion of the Jews from Spain in 1492, Hagee writes, was a world-changing moment. The mantle of prosperity was lifted from Spain and placed upon the shoulders of an infant nation that would become the United States of America. And God Almighty used the four blood moons of 1493 and 94 as a heavenly billboard to mankind. And on Passover and Tabernacles, 1493, Passover and Tabernacles, 1494, there was this tetrad of four blood moons on what you might call the Jewish feast dates, but really they're God's circle dates, His moeds. Now that was a changing event. It didn't happen again until another world-changing event. And the world-changing event was the Jews coming home after 1900 years and having a nation again, just like God promised they would.
Praise God.
So God marked that. They're coming home. Their nation was declared in 1948. And in 1949 and 50, there was a tetrad of blood moons on Passover and Tabernacles, with a solar eclipse on Rosh Hashanah. So God marked it. They became a nation again in their own promised land. And it was promised to them. I put all that scriptures together. It's not promised to any other people. It's promised to the Jews forever. And I have this little book of just scriptures here. It's theirs. Now, they marked the first Passover as a nation. God marked it with a blood moon in the sky. Now, that is the second tetrad in the past 500 years. The third one happened just a few years later, just 19 or so years later. And it happened, this tetrad happened in 1967 and 1968. What happened in 1967, 1968? The Jews got back Jerusalem. They got back the old city of Jerusalem. They got back that Temple Mount. They got back what belonged to them in a miraculous Six-Day War. So many miracles happened in that Six-Day War. Sometimes the opposing army would see great big men that looked like angels, and they would flee and run away, or else it would be paralyzed.
Would run away.
The opposing armies. There was no way they should have won that war, except it was a miraculous Six-Day War, and they got back Jerusalem, and the end of the times of the Gentiles began. And that tetrad was Passover and Pentecost, 1967. Passover and Tabernacles, 1967 and 1968, and a solar eclipse followed on November 2nd, 1967. So now, in 500 years, three times, there have been these tetrads with a solar eclipse in between them, or near them, on God's appointed times, three times. Now, there's about to be an upcoming tetrad. These are rare on God's calendar dates.
Right.
And it won't happen again in all the 21st century. So the only one that's going to happen in the 21st century is pretty early in the century, and that's in the year 2014, which is the year we're in. We are now in February.
Think about it.
And the first tetrad is going to begin. Tetrad, you have to have four to make a tetrad. And the first blood moon of the tetrad is going to be April 15th. 2014, upcoming tax day. Then the following Tabernacles, October 6th, 2014, there's going to be another blood moon. And then in 2015, April 4th, and Passover, and Tabernacles, September 28th, 2015, there's going to be four blood moon tetrad. And that's coming up really, really close. And then there is going to be a total eclipse of the sun that will be coming near them. That total eclipse will be lunar eclipse. I have to look over here on March 20th, there will be a total eclipse of the sun on the first day of the sacred year.
Now, what does the scripture say about total, about
darken, the sun darkened, and the moon turned to blood. So it could be eclipses. The sun looks dark and the moon looks red. And so there will be a solar eclipse on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the sacred year. And when God said in Exodus chapter 12, this day shall be the beginning, that day, which is the month that you have Passover and all of those things, there's going to be a solar eclipse on that day. Now, what has happened every time we've had this? There's been a change. What do we know is going to happen? I don't know. but it's going to be an event that, like what happened with the Jews kicked out of Spain and the Jews having to find a new homeland, it's going to involve Israel because it's on those dates. But it will involve the whole world. That was a world changer. It will affect the whole world. That was a game changer. That was a world changer. When the Israel came back and they became a nation, it changed everything. They had been in the ovens just a few years before, but they came up out of their graves just like God said they would in Ezekiel 37. In 1945, they were coming up out of their graves from the Holocaust, and in 1945. And in 1948, they're a nation. And God sends some blood moon tetrad to mark it.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Now they're one of the greatest nations in the earth. 70 years. It's only taken.
My, my.
And then he marked when they got back Jerusalem. So if it's that important to God, God does this. God marks things. I have here Josephus. He's the great Jewish historian. And you know the second temple was destroyed by the Romans. Titus, the Romans. And in his Wars of the Jews, he was there. He was an eyewitness. He puts down all the signs that God gave them because the temple was going to be destroyed. Jesus had told them, don't stay in town. But he puts down all these signs that God did. He said, there was a star resembling a sword which stood over the city of Jerusalem, and a comet continued over the city the whole year. And then he tells about the different signs that would come on the Moeds. He gives a sign here that came on Passover, and lights that came, and doors of the temple would be open. Different things would come. He goes into detail about these signs. And then they would come at the Moeds, at the feast date. And then he tells about this one prophet that came. And I think it was for either 4 or 7 years, he prophesied at every one of the festivals. Oh, 7 years. At every one of the Moeds, he prophesied. Never grew hoarse. And he prophesied, you know, that really the Romans are going to come and Jerusalem's going to be judged, and they should have known to get out of town. Now, here is what Josephus says. Now, if anyone consider these things, he will find that God takes care of mankind and in all ways possible foreshows to our race what is for our preservation. So God gives signs. And if he's giving signs now, it's something world-changing. The man Mark Biltz, who discovered this, he spoke to us at CUFI. And he said, I don't know what it's going to be. John Hagee says, I don't know what it's going to be. But Mark Biltz said, whatever your theological pipe, put this in your theological pipe and smoke it. So my theological pipe is, we're coming near the coming of the Lord.
Glory to God.
And there is another thing about time that we didn't go into, and I do want to go into it with you. And that is the 7-year cycles. All time is divided into 7-year cycles. Right after God gave his calendar in Leviticus 23, he gave them the 7-year cycles in Leviticus 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai. This came from Sinai. When you come into the land that I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. All time is divided into 7-year cycles. 6 years you plant, you sow, you prune, you gather. 7th year, the land rests. 7-year cycles. That 7th year is called the sabbatical year or the Shemitah year. So that seventh year is a very important year. The Jews went into Babylonian captivity, and the time was determined for how many Shemitahs, how many sabbatical years they missed. So it's important. Judgment comes if you don't keep this. So not for us here, but yeah. In the land, in that holy land. So these seven-year cycles, then, verse 8, you shall number seven Sabbaths of years. That's seven-year cycles. And that would be 49 years, 7 times 7. And it even is written here, in case you don't do the math, verse 8, of the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shall you cause the shofar of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee.
Praise God.
In the year of this Jubilee you shall return every man unto his possessions. So, there are seven-year cycles. The what we call the tribulation period will be a seven-year cycle. We know that from the study of the book of Revelation. It's a week of years. We know it from Daniel. Remember, we started this studying this. This is the second week. We started the first week in the book of Daniel, and we talked about Daniel's 70th week. There's a week of years that God has got left to deal with Jews and deal with the Israel. He's also going to be dealing with the nations. And that 70th week of Daniel, when he's going to close up everything and going to end it by anointing Praise the God. Most holy place, that's a seven-year cycle. And we've come to call it the time of Jacob's trouble. We've come to call it the tribulation time. Weddings in Israel, all life events are involved with the number seven. Weddings in Israel are a seven-day affair to the Jews that are religious. And so in my theological pipe, at the beginning of a seven-year cycle, there'll be the rapture of the church. And at the end of the seven-year cycle, we will come back with Jesus on our white horses. Now, I believe that our eternal place to live is in heaven, that it'll come down over earth. We're not going into that right now. But these seven-year cycles are very important. I made up a graphic of Rosh Hashanah and the seven-year cycles. And we, Gloria, I think I gave you this. We are now 2014 to 2015 because the years in the Shemitah cycle, they've got the graphic up for you, are determined. The bookends of these years are 1 year to the next year is Rosh Hashanah. It's like the bookends, you might say, of the Gregorian calendar are January to January.
Yeah.
January 1st to January 1st. So Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is a year. And you're going to have 6 years and then the seventh. Rosh Hashanah on 2014 and Rosh Hashanah on 2015 are the bookends of a seventh year cycle. So it seems to speak to me that since this tetrad is appearing, these tetrads are appearing in a seventh year of a seven-year cycle, that it's really, really amazing. Now, the Jews know, and I'm going to read you right now from the Babylonian Talmud tractate Sanhedrin. Our rabbis, that means the old sages from the time of Moses and there. Our rabbis taught in the seven-year cycle, at the end of which the Son of David will come. And then it says what will happen the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year. We would say that's the tribulation cycle. But they know that seven-year cycles have to do with it. And that their King Messiah is coming at the end.
The seven-year cycle, huh?
In the seven-year cycle at the end of which the Son of David will come. So I would say this seven-year cycle of the tribulation period, Jesus will come on his white horse. The Messiah will come and put his feet down, it says in Zechariah, on that mountain, defeat the Antichrist, set up his kingdom.
Glory.
And so these three unfulfilled moeds then will be fulfilled. I don't know. I don't know. I can't say that it has to do with the rapture of the church. I don't know. But I believe that at some beginning of some seven-year cycle, we'll hear that trumpet sound. I don't know when it'll be.
We'll stay ready.
We'll stay ready. We're going to stay ready. But the thing about two, I want to say this. Before it happens, we're going to be a glorious church.
Praise God.
We're going to be absolutely manifesting God to this earth that is crying for it. We are going to be the glorious church that God talks to us about in the book of Ephesians. We are going to be the temple of God, filled with His glory. I would suggest to you that you look at Tommy Hicks' vision. It's online many places, H-I-C-K-S, Tommy Hicks' vision. And it talks about a glorious church. Brother Hagin prophesied it about all the time. We're going to walk like that, Gloria, before we leave this earth.
Glory
he is
God.
The most glorious bridegroom ever there was, and He's going to have a glorious bride.
Praise God. Boy, that is some kind of exciting.
It is exciting.
Glory to God. Bill and I will be right back.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Inside, you're perfect, born again in the image of Jesus Himself. As you spend time beholding the Lord in the Word and in prayer, your outer being will be transformed in much the same way as a caterpillar is changed to a butterfly. Instead of conforming to the image of the world, you'll begin to conform to the image of the reborn Spirit within you, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Take time to get away from the world and study God's Word. Meditate on it and let it change you from the inside out.
I thought a blood moon was a sign of a fulfillment of a prophecy.
Well, it's actually a term used by NASA to describe a season of the moon in orbit around the Earth.
Okay, so what about the signs of the times we're supposed to know to prepare for the return of Christ? I gotta get ready. I gotta stock up on supplies.
And I don't think that's what it means.
It seems pretty clear to me. Revelation says we need to read the signs and know the season.
What you need to focus on is your relationship with Jesus and what it says in the Word. But there's no problem with being prepared for emergencies. Jesus said, feed my sheep and make disciples. So by getting ready, you go out and you get more people in the kingdom of God. And to be prepared, you develop your own relationship with God.
Okay, but what about wars and rumors of war and worldwide financial collapse and chaos of food shortages? These are all cause for concern.
Well, you can choose to think about them that way if you'd like, or you can choose to think differently and live differently.
You two make it seem so easy. I mean, I look around daily and I get so bent out of shape when I see things happening around me, and I feel like I need to do something. I mean, I'm no faith giant like you, and I know I can't fix the world's problems, but how do I get to a place where I believe the same way you do?
Well, I'm flattered that you think I'm a faith giant. And I'm tempted every day to get stressed out. It's so easy with TV, the news, the radio, the internet, always obsessing over the latest tragedy. I could so easily get caught up thinking crazy thoughts just because every screen I look at has bad news.
So what do you do?
It's up to us to decide what we're gonna listen to. All that the world has to offer or what the Word says. I've experienced both, and what our Heavenly Father has cannot be beat. It really is the offer with the best benefits.
So what you're telling me is God left the choice that determines my eternal soul up to me?
A good father gives you a choice. If you're being forced, then it's not love.
So because He loves us, He allows me to choose His protection, His blessings, and His way of life.
There's nothing hard about faith. Faith is really easy. It's just simply believing what God's already said instead of what somebody else said. Fear believes what somebody else said. Faith believes what God's already said.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2014 Branson Victory Campaign, February 27th to March 1st with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Today's offering day, and Billy and I are going to pray over your finances and our own finances. We believe God for ours, you know, too. So you decide in your heart what the Lord wants you to do in sowing. And Billy and I are going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every person that participates in this offering today. And we thank you, Lord, for increase, a mighty increase in all of our finances. We sow and we reap. Glory to God. We are tithers.
Glory
we are sowers.
Glory
and we
to
are
God.
Reapers in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Money, you come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whatever anybody is releasing their faith for right now, Billy and I agree with you that you have it. If it's a job, we believe you have that job. Whatever it is, if it's increase, we believe
Lord.
You have
Thank
favor
you,
and increase in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to supernaturally increase, you know, you have to be a tither. You get to be a tither. You get to sow that first seed, that 10%. Billy and I are tithers. All the people we know that are living in supernatural blessing are tithers. We know that from the Word of God. So when you do tithe and when you do sow, release your faith. Get scriptures and say scriptures, the blessings of the tither. Thank those to yourself. And believe God and command the blessing to be manifest in your life. And we thank you, Lord, for healing, the healing anointing flowing into every person right now. Your Amen. Mercy. Be made whole, Jesus' name. Say, I take it, I receive
I take
it, I have it.
And you
feed on healing scriptures when you're well and when you're not well. You feed on the healing scriptures to stay healed. The same thing you do with financial scriptures. Mm-hmm. Feed on, how come? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is what brings results.
According to your faith, be it unto
That's
you.
That's exactly right. Go to church this weekend. Go to one that preaches the Word. Feed on the Word. Ken will be back and I'll be with him on the next broadcast week. We love you. We bless you. And we thank you for being a part of it. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.